Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. And we're in Tupelo, MS, and Steve Jordahl is sitting right beside me.
I am.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing, brother?
I'm well, except I'm just a little. I got to tell you, Ray, first time I've talked to you since the weekend, and I'm not really happy with what's going on in the AFC West. Just putting that out there, and we'll leave it alone.
Look, I'm perfectly happy.
I bet you are.
We're happy about it here in
the old Raiders-Chiefs rivalry,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay. But who's the Raiders' number one rival? Would that be the Chiefs, the Broncos, or the Chargers?
In my mind, it's the Chargers, although there are people who would say it's
because
it's
a California thing?
Well, no, because they've had really close games. And when Shanahan was coach of the Raiders, and then he went to coach over at Denver, and then he beat the stuffing out of the Raiders every time they played. And so they kind of got under people's skin.
So now didn't one of your guys, Steve, get suspended for the rest of the season?
Yes, Avante Berfick. And he did because it was a violent helmet on helmet contact with a receiver, and he would have gotten thrown out of the game and probably a good hefty fine, except that he has $2 million worth of fines over his career. Fines. $2 million and the NFL just said, you know, you're out.
We're done here.
We're done here for the year.
All right, Steve, first story.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk about a couple things. I had this all in order here. Let's talk about, I want to bring to you the story. It's a sad story of a sixth grade girl in Virginia who claimed that her hair was cut off by some bullies at school. And it was a sad story, and all the news sites picked it up, and because it was three white boys that allegedly pinned this girl down and cut her dreadlocks off.
A black girl.
And there are some political overtones in it, which you will hear in a minute. You will be able to divine from the sound I'm going to play. But I want you to hear 12-year-old Amari Allen of Virginia and her grandmother.
When was this from?
This was from before. So it came out that this was all a fake, a hoax.
But this was from 3 days
ago. What we're hearing is from before she admitted that it was a
hoax. When the story first broke, about three or four days ago.
ABC 7 in Washington went out and talked to this girl. So you're going to hear from the grandmother.
Okay.
You're going to hear from 12-year-old Amari Allen. And you're going to hear from the reporter from ABC 7. And this is what it sounded like before we knew it was a hoax. Cut 5.
Where were anybody to protect her from this heinous crime?
Amari is a sixth grader at the private Emmanuel Christian School in Springfield, Virginia, the place where Second Lady Karen Pence teaches.
Sometimes I think that I don't deserve to be there at a Christian school and everything, and that I'm ugly.
Like, all three were around me. And then one of them could put my hands behind my back, one of them covered my mouth, took big chunks of my hair and just cut.
What kind of names were they calling you?
Ugly, I shouldn't have been born.
So this exploded a lot like the Jussie Smollett thing, and everybody took hold of it. And lately, several days later now, her family has come out with a very profuse apology.
Well, here's what happened there. And you know, the shame of this is... The shame of it is, well, it involves a 12-year-old girl that I don't know if she was coached or why she did this. But what you do, it's a racist, charge against three young boys at her school. And what happened was the police came in, looked at a security camera. She said it happened out on the playground or something like that. The cops looked at a police camera. Nothing ever happened. Just like the Jussie Smollett case. And they confronted the young lady's grandparents, I think, and her. And she confessed that she made it all up. And so Had they not had the security camera, I don't know. Maybe these three boys would have been expelled from school. I don't know. But she confessed that it was not true, and her grandparents did issue an apology, didn't they?
They did, and they apologized to the young boys and their parents. They apologized to the administrators and families at Emmanuel Christian School, to the broader community, and they said they understand there will be consequences and were prepared to take responsibility for them. So it was a heartfelt apology, for what it's worth.
Yeah, the damage is done.
Well, what I don't, Ray, when here's the problem I have is, yeah, one of the problems I have is when you hear her grandmother right there, and obviously her grandmother's torn up when she hears this news, but you have the media come out, interview the grandmother before anybody knows any of the real facts of the case or whether this even happened or not, and they go with it as a national news story. Right. I mean, Congresswoman Tlaib, is that her name?
Yeah. Rashida Tlaib of Michigan.
Right. She went on Twitter the day the story broke saying, you know, how awful it was, and this was a beautiful girl, and racism is alive and well in America, yada, yada, yada. I'm paraphrasing now. But and then when the story gets, we find out that it's a hoax,
right,
with Jesse Smollett and many other cases that we hear about, turns out to be a hoax. You know, it's kind of like it's buried in the page 7 of the newspaper, whatever.
Well, look, they were going after the Karen Pence angle,
gotcha,
right? I mean, they had to get that in there. If Karen Pence doesn't teach there, does this make news across the country? No, not at least to this extent. And then you raise the question, that young girl was very, that's a compelling tape we listened to.
Yeah, she's crying.
Either she is the greatest child actress of all time, or somebody coached her to how she could have come up with that on her own.
Yeah, the shameful thing, it's very, very shameful. It's shameful that she lied to begin with and framed these three boys. But her story had red flags from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because, number one, at how many schools do the kids get to go play on the playground by themselves?
Right.
With no supervision. Number two, what 12-year-old still slides down the slide over and over and over again? 12-year-olds might go slide.
And three
once.
Boys hold her down. One puts
That's
her
right.
hand over her mouth.
Yeah.
And the other one cuts her dreadlocks.
And nobody
off.
Sees it.
And nobody sees it.
And
well,
so
the
media, but the media runs with it without doing their own investigative journalism
well,
task.
For the, and then we see this over and over and over again. Happened with that young boy at the Lincoln Memorial with the American and the Indian man. So the, they, as Joy Behar,
yes,
so famously said on The View, the reason we don't wait on these stories to confirm them or not is because we want them to be true.
Right. Yeah.
Because right. they wanted this to be true. You're right. This bullying kind of thing goes on all over the America every day on school campuses. The local news, the national news media does not come and investigate or not even investigate, do interviews with people to put them on national television. What they Ray's right. The only reason they did this is because that's where Karen Pence teaches, so we can tie Karen Pence to these three racist white boys who
there
cut
you
off
go.
This young black girl's hair.
Right,
yeah. And
the
then
story.
We can say, and then we can say, this is what this is the kind of thing Karen Pence embraces. Thus,
yeah.
And then we can talk about
you know,
Charlotte.
It all goes together.
And then we can talk about Charlottesville.
Yeah.
So. But
right.
That's how that whole thing
you
works.
You know, there's like some basic things that you do, almost like parents do when they think their kids lying to them. You ask them a few questions, maybe
right.
even call their friends' parents and see where they were. But, I mean, you would have had these media outlets, these journalists, so-called journalists, they had to have not done any investigative
right.
work to run this story. Because all it takes is...
How about letting the cops come do the investigation, then report on it?
Yes, or the journalists can go sit in the principal's office and review the camera footage. Or
yeah, this only also, you know, I get so tired of the stoking of racial issues, you know, and these Jesse Smollett type things where you just make up stuff, you know, just make up stuff and you know, out of whole cloth. And it, you know, it damages our national fabric, if you will, when these kinds of things happen over and over and over and over and over again, hoaxes I'm talking about.
The one last thing I'll say, and I don't know what's going to happen to this girl from a school discipline standpoint,
right?
But she's underage, so the law, it's a little convoluted whether she can face criminal charges or not.
She can't, I don't think. I don't think. 12 years old.
Unless she's charged as a minor. But the at a minimum, the school should suspend her or expel her, because you can't make up stuff and lie and then just the next week go back to school.
Oh,
no,
I'm
problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, my bad, guys.
Well, her grandmother did say there, you know, they know there are going to be consequences to her behavior. My guess is she'll probably be expelled for the year and then probably have to reapply if she wants to come back to that school next year. But I don't know what they will do to her. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
We continue to see Republican lawmakers, specifically from Texas, drop out of government service. And these are members,
congressmen, U.S. members congressmen?
Well, it's happening on several levels, but the House of Representatives is where a lot of people are looking, because that's the one that the Republicans need to take back if they're going to stop this fake impeachment drive, if they're going to get anything done. And so the latest is Texas Congressman Mac Thornberry. And he quoted Ecclesiastes in his announcement that he wasn't going to run again. He said, "We're reminded that for everything there is a season, and I believe that the time has come for a change. Therefore, I will not be a candidate for re-election in 2020 elections." Most of these Republicans are from safe districts around the country, but there are five that I found that are actually in competitive districts that they won in 2018 by less than 10% of the vote. And in some cases, won less than 1% of the vote.
Yeah.
And so I think you're running into, and I can't help but think that some of these people just are tired of being in the minority after what, since 2018? After a year or so.
2016. Since 2016?
Well, they were in
2018.
2018 is when the House went into Democrat control and they became the minority.
You know, people quit for various reasons, you know, in Congress and retire. And given that they are, those people, most of them are from safe districts, that is, another Republican will replace them. You know, they may be tired of the Washington drama.
That's what I was going to say. You know, you can't nail down a reason.
And let me add one thing, and then you can finish your thought there. It isn't often I interrupt here on the show.
It is your show.
So I will say this about that. That is, these folks here, they not all of them want to be career politicians. There are some people who just view it as a public service, and they want to go and do their time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, as we've said before, it varies per situation. We don't know all the reasons. But I would almost bet that in some of these lawmakers' homes, there's a conversation about whether you want, as a politician, to continue to be a part of such a divided and nasty political environment that's Washington, D.C. You know, the smears and the Kavanaugh story and all this, and the personal attacks that these lawmakers have. The death threats that comes in.
And the left can be ruthless.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, so I almost bet you some of these retirements are, there's a conversation at home going on.
I'm tired. We don't need this.
Does our family really want to keep going through this stuff? And some probably say, no, it's time to retire.
Yeah.
Funny, there's only four Democrats that are retiring out of the House.
Right, well, they're in charge right now. I would also say this, and I don't mean to undersell what a House of Representatives member can or can't do. But with the way the Senate is today, there's not a lot of big legislation that's going to be passed anytime soon. There hasn't been in a long time. So because the Senate, you have to have 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. So that's not likely to happen anytime soon, because the Senate is so close in terms of Republicans and Democrats. So I don't want to get into a lengthy discussion on the filibuster here, but just to say that really the House of Representative members are just perfunctory right now. They're just casting, they're just going to committee hearings. They're casting votes. They're passing a budget. You know, but it's pretty routine stuff. They're now they're into impeachment with the Democrats, but I'm just saying that, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to pass any major legislation. So some of them may say, you know, I came up here to do some big things, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
Given the filibuster rule. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Maybe I could do a podcast on the filibuster for an hour and a half.
You would draw some listeners,
you
my
think
friend.
So?
Oh, yeah.
I might consider that. If the demand's
there.
You
could do an hour and a half, Tim. I know you could.
Right? I'll offer myself for that expertise if the demand is there, if America wants it. So we'll just see how many emails we get wanting me to wax eloquent on an hour and a half of what it means to filibuster. So if that's you, you email us here at comments at AFR.net, and we'll see if we can get some folks interested. What about you, Steve? What's next story?
Good. The next story. Adam Schiff is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and he has been leading the charge against President Trump, him and Gerald Nadler. And he's most fired up about this phone call where he says President Trump kind of asked a foreign leader for dirt on Joe Biden. And you might remember this. This was his House Intelligence Committee hearing when he couldn't actually quote from the actual transcript because there really wasn't a there, but he decided to characterize and just made some stuff up what was in the phone call because he was so upset and needed to tell people how bad it is when you ask a foreign leader for dirt on your opponent. Listen to cut six.
I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only seven times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked.
That's, you know,
wow.
That's what he believes.
I'd read about it, but I hadn't heard it for the first time.
Good night.
That's a parody,
that
obviously.
He got caught.
So you have the chairman, the Democrat chairman.
Yes.
And he's saying this is what the phone call is,
yes.
And as it turns out, that's not what the phone call was.
Not really, no. Not
at
all.
He didn't mention seven times.
Yes. Well, no, I think Biden's name might have been mentioned seven times in the course of a paragraph or whatever. But the point I'm bringing out is how incensed he was that a lawmaker would go to a foreign country.
Okay.
I want you to listen to a phone call that Adam Schiff. You're going to hear Adam Schiff, and you're going to hear a Russian, maybe Ukrainian person. This was a prank call that Adam Schiff took. He didn't know it was a prank, obviously, where these Russians, disc jockeys, offer him dirt on President Trump. Listen to cut seven.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buseva, where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely. And we also know who was a mediator between Trump and Russian government, who met with ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things, but the most interesting thing is they used a special password before their meetings. When they met each other, they said, weather is good on Deribasovskaya.
Weather
it rains.
Is good.
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa.
So it's a street in Odessa?
Yes.
And the code word is weather is good on Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya.
And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings and more details on
this. Yes.
And the second part of their password was it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach.
Yes.
It was like something out of a Tom Clancy novel.
He didn't just take the bait. He tugged at the bait.
Oh, man. Okay, now when was it? When was this phone call?
This phone call was a year or so ago.
Okay.
It was kind of when they were ramping up all the Russian, in the middle of the Russian collusion stuff. And
he got punked Schiff, that bad?
He got punked
yeah.
that
There's,
bad.
He got punked a couple times, too. That was just one recording.
But what he's trying to do is dig up dirt on Trump.
He's trying to accept right. dirt on Trump from a foreign government.
This is the guy who's indignant.
indignant
about President Trump, quote, digging up dirt on Joe Biden. Before that, he was the one trying to dig up, a sitting intelligent chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Democrat, trying to find out passwords and everything so he can dig up, quote, dirt on President Trump. That's wrong,
I tell you.
And Steve brought in the story last week about three senators, Bob Menendez,
right,
and two others,
Durbin
and one other, about how they sent a letter to the Ukrainian government basically saying, you don't need to stop your investigations into Trump because they're helping Robert Mueller. And if you do, then my vote for your aid is going to be at stake.
Right. The liberal media in this country is so dishonest. And no wonder President Trump calls them the fake media. Because they won't, that what we're reporting, what we're talking about right here, very few outlets will talk about this, will tell you the whole story, as it were. I don't, you know, if they want to criticize President Trump for that phone call he made, fine, go for it. But at least tell the other side of the story. At least tell the same thing you would on the other side. You know, Bill Maher, who I detest as a human being, because he's so, he needs Jesus Christ. It's what he needs.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's good, guys, just bad news. But every once in a while, he'll say something that I agree with, which is noteworthy. And in this case, he said, this is Bill Maher, a flaming liberal. He said, look, if Joe, just exchange the name Joe Biden's, Hunter Biden, with Donald Trump Jr., and see how interested the media would be on this story about the Ukraine, about the Ukrainian energy company paying Joe Biden's son $50,000 a month for 3 years to serve on their board of directors. The liberal media, that would be the scandal of the century, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? All right, next story, Steve.
All right, Hillary Clinton is in the news again. She and her daughter, Chelsea.
This better be good, Steve.
She's going around on a book tour. They have written a book called Gutsy Women, and they were at this book signing. It was an interview with them and where she's selling her book. And she's being interviewed by ABC News' Amy Rohrbach. And Amy Rohrbach asked, can I ask you, Madam Secretary, what's the gutsiest thing you've ever done? Her answer was, I think the gutsiest thing I've ever done... well, personally, make the decision to stay in my marriage. Publicly, politically, run for president, just keep going. Just get up every day and keep going. Chelsea was a little taken aback at her candor, it says. That the gutsiest thing she's ever done is to stay in her marriage, which, by the way, has been rather financially rewarding for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's an odd.
Can't believe she actually said that
out loud.
Caught her off guard all the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. You're listening to Today's Issues. We got 1 minute left.
I have a vegan.
You have a 1 minute story.
Yes,
Steve?
I do. I have a vegan in England who.
Is that an animal? What is that?
It is a person who eats vegs. Vegetables, no meat.
Plants.
And this person was so. She ordered, now I don't know how she thought she was going to get, but she ordered a pork roll.
Okay.
And then found out that she was actually had eaten meat and said that she was traumatized for life.
Yeah.
My body is poisoned for life, you know, she said.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is she related to that young girl from Denmark?
She
16-year-old?
She might be.
Because her life's over, too.
I know.
You know, the global warming?
Yeah.
Young lady?
Yeah.
She, I don't even know what
Greta
she...
Greta Thunberg.
She sits in
Greta
room.
Thunberg.
I think she sits in a room every day and looks out the window.
That's what you get for eating a pork roll.
And she uses the air conditioner to keep her cool.
Yeah, but then she has to shut the curtains because it's warming outside.
Right.
Well, maybe in Denmark it's starting to cool. All right, Ray, thank you so much for your...
Hey, thank you, Tim.
...time with us. Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley for producing our program today. We shall see you back tomorrow, everybody.